your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we're back. Michael Cohen here, producer Desi Simmons. As Lansing City leaders call on the City Council to let voters decide on selling parts of the now-closed Red Cedar and Waverly golf courses, the real question is if there's even a good reason not to do so. To talk about the effort to sell this public land, I'm joined by Patrick Lindemann. He is Ingham County's Drain Commissioner. Thank you for joining me, Patrick.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here.
Now, the council rejected the push to quickly get this proposed sale on the ballot when it came up a few months ago. Why was there such a rush to get it done before some members felt they had enough time to review the proposal?
Well, I don't think that it was a rush. This is not a new thing. It's been on the drawing board for a long, long time. So I'm not sure. The vote, I think it had more to do with politics than the actual issue.
Now, essentially, the argument by the city council members that rejected this proposal was that there weren't enough details provided, and they needed more time to consider this idea of selling this land. Has that now been presented to them in a way where they can proceed with
it? No. The whole concept of going for proposals is to get proposals to get some ideas of what could be possibly be there. We know certain things. What do we know? We know that the water that runs off of that watershed, it's called the Montgomery Drain, is polluted. It's one of the largest polluters to the Red Cedar River for non-point source pollution, and we know that we have to clean it. Do I know exactly how I'm going to design a system to clean it? The answer is no. I can't give them a plan because it's not designed yet. We know that the Red Cedar Golf Course sits there, and it has an opportunity to sell off a small portion of its land for economic development purposes, which would allow me to build the system that I have to build around something that's being proposed. If you were a city council person and you said, well, I want to see a plan, I want to approve a plan, let's approve a brick building, 5 stories tall with 8 windows in the front and, you know, aluminum siding 50% up or whatever, mm-hmm. What do you think that the people proposing to build there would give you? They give you exactly what you just said you wanted. I think what you don't want is a plan. What you actually want is to have other people tell you what the possibilities are so that you could choose from a myriad of all kinds of different imaginative thought processes, and people with the money that want to invest in that property could mm-hmm. give you. But to me, that makes sense.
Well, I wonder, when you say there was potentially political motivation for resisting this plan, was that then in terms of the resistance to the development aspect of it? I can't imagine they were against the.
No, I've met with the business people. By and large, you know, nobody likes to have new taxes applied upon them and that kind of thing. But when you actually go and talk to the people who own the land in the area, and if you talk to the citizens that live around there, they all want this to happen. The decision for city council to vote yes or no before, I think, wasn't thought through very well. And I think even the naysayers would have to come back and say, look, this is thousands of jobs. This is an opportunity to build something that's extraordinarily special for the city. You know, we could, mm-hmm. this is really special thing. It's a very once in a long, long time do you ever get an opportunity to do this. I don't want to say once in a lifetime thing, but it's close to that. You know, mm-hmm. opportunities like this don't happen very often.
Although the retention, the rainwater retention area, building that in a sense is separate than the selling the parcels of land for development, is it not?
That's correct. I can build a pond and cow. I can probably go in there tomorrow. In fact, not probably. I could go in there tomorrow, and I could say, okay, we're going to do all of these things. We're going to interrupt the flow of the water. I'm going to take the pollution out before it gets to the river, whatever. And what do you got? You got a bunch of ponds. The city partnering with us on this effort to clean the water has an opportunity to build something to make this a mecca, a place for people to go, passive recreation opportunities speared by the sale of that small portion of this larger piece of land could be huge. The kinds of investments in the park system that could be made for that far surpass in just having a pond there. I mean, it's just, to me, to forego doing this would be missing I would consider it to be an opportunity of a lifetime for us to really make a true connection between MSU and the Capitol, to make Michigan Avenue shine.
I'm talking to Patrick Lindemann, the Ingham County Drain Commissioner. So how polluted is the Red Cedar River at this point, and how much pollution is being drained into it by the developments near the golf course?
Well, EPA is thinking of putting it on the TMDL list. That means that it exceeds the total daily maximum loads of pollution that are accessible for partial body contact or full body contact. So we have a system that it's a lot cleaner today than it was 40 years ago. 40 years ago, it was completely like a raw sewer almost. Mm-hmm. Today, it's not quite that way. The Federal Clean Water Act has taken out a lot of the point source pollutions. But what we're dealing with here is a non-point source pollution problem. And the contributions of this particular discharge into the Red Cedar River, which is only one of 230-some public discharges that happen along the Red Cedar River, this one is the heaviest in terms of pollution contribution. All right, so there's all kinds of things in there. There's chemistry. There's mm-hmm. human waste. Somebody has their... There's got to be somebody's toilet system is hooked up to it. We know that because we can measure it. We've already found it.
But
we have to go in and eliminate those discharges, okay? We have rubber from tires on cars. Every time you put in your brakes, you shave off metal. It accumulates, and when it rains, all that metal goes into the system. So we have copper, zinc, acid.
And it piles up, essentially. Now, I need to ask you, Pat, now, if the city council then is not willing to put this on the ballot again, can you will you then proceed with the rainwater retention area project anyway?
The answer is yes. I have to. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't protect your neighbors and all the listeners out there's public health. There's no reason for us to live with a river that winds up on a TMDL list. Come on. I mean, we can put a guy on the moon and bring him back alive.
Mm-hmm.
You think we can't make water run downhill and make it clean? Come on. Yes, I have to do this.
How soon will that have to happen, and then how will that be paid for?
Well, the payment of it, this is what's called Chapter 20 drain. This is a process of paying for it. The municipalities, the highway system, and the... Road Commission, or the county on behalf of the roads, would wind up with a share of the bill. And with this project, with selling the 12 acres, just the SEV off the rebuilding of that 12 acres would go a huge difference. It would make a huge difference in the ultimate assessment for paying for the environmental cure.
Gotcha.
This is like a win-win. Why wouldn't somebody do it? We create thousands of jobs, cure the river, and bingo.
Gotcha. About 15 seconds here. How soon does the city council need to make its decision then?
Before August 30th. So there'll be two more council meetings. We're going to debate it, and you'll read a lot more about it, hear a lot more about it. And I'd be happy to get back on your show and tell you what I think.
Excellent.
After that.
I want to talk some more about it. Thank you very much for joining me, Patrick Lindemann, Ingham County Drain Commissioner.